It's a simple recipe, but it would mean so much to me. Turn on the gas and make me feel fine. And all I wanna say is, just give me some hot pizza.
Financial Pizza. It's the only podcast that features clips and more from some of the best financial advisors. You hear them every week on the radio and in podcasts. I bring it to you hot, fresh, and in 30 minutes or less. This week, it's part two of the conversation with Joan Murphy at Murphy Wealth Management. He's talking about the petrodollar. If you haven't heard part one, just pause this one, go back, listen to last week's show, and get caught up. Well, in a nutshell, Joe outlined the history of the petrodollar and how the petrodollar system emerged with Saudi Arabia agreeing to sell oil only in U.S. dollars and invest excess dollars in U.S. treasuries. We are back on Wealth Health Radio having a fantastic conversation about petrodollar and does it exist? Doesn't it exist? Depends on where you look, I guess. And Joe's trying to straighten it all out for us, doing a great job. Taking us through this process, Joe, I mean, this is really good stuff in terms of, you know, things that I think the average person should know.
I think so too, Steve. But when you go on social media or you watch the news, it's all designed to lead. And, you know, the petrodollar isn't anything new. Cryptocurrency right. fanatics and promoters have been using this as the demise of the U.S. dollar to get people to buy digital assets. This has been happening for years.
So that seems to be working.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Look, you know, they're promoting this, but you remember, fear motivates. And this my show is not designed for fear. It's designed to educate, to allow people to make their own decision on what's going on and what's not. The only thing I'm really looking at here is history and what has happened in the past and what may happen in the future is anyone's guess, Steve. Nothing ever happens the way we think it's going to. And you have a lot of crypto promoters out there or gold promoters out there saying the U.S. dollar is dead. Well, the U.S. dollar has been the world currency for 60 years. And it has been a strong currency. And we have exposed ourselves throughout the world. And most countries are still, you know, 60% of countries are still settling in the U.S. dollar. Saudi Arabia's currency is pegged to the U.S. dollar. So there's always balance in between understanding extremes. And of course, extremes sell. So you go on social media, it's going to be, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. You go on the news, it's all fake news. I want to come somewhere in the middle and just talk about what actually happened in history, what we do know. And, you know, it's fun to kind of think, all right, what could happen in the future? But remember, whenever you're dealing with stuff like this, it's I always say this, everything happens slowly and then it all happens at once.
Yes.
You ask someone that, you know, maybe went through some tough financial troubles, they'll say, you know, it was a slow process or bankruptcy or something like that. And then it all happened at once. You know, you're watching it real time. So my goal here today is just to educate people, to let them know, yes, we did have an agreement with Saudi Arabia. That's for sure. You know, all the oil trades, you know, for the past 20, 30 or 50 years have not been settled in U.S. dollars for no reason. And we're not providing Saudi Arabia defense, you know, defense of the kingdom for no reason. We're not getting that influx of U.S. Treasury purchases from excess petrodollars for no reason. Look, there's an absolute, you can look at the absolutes in this situation. And whether it was official or not, they say secret, it doesn't matter. This was in existence. We know this was orchestrated and we know Henry Kissinger was there and had an agreement with the Saudis. This is something that has helped the United States catapult into economic prosperity. And we are looking to defend it at all costs. And it makes sense why Biden and Blinken are trying to recreate a security deal between Israel and Saudi Arabia. And right now, to me, looking at that, and, you know, obviously, if you do believe in the death of the petrodollar agreement, why is Biden and Blinken making a sweetheart deal with Saudi Arabia now all of a sudden? It doesn't make much sense. And in promise of the deal that they're negotiating, as long as Saudi Arabia normalizes relations with Israel, we're going to provide them with more defense. We're going to provide them with more advanced weapons and a civilian nuclear program. So these are all the things that we're looking at. What's real? What's not? We know these chain of events. We just don't know for sure because the government isn't going to release this to us. But we can chase the money. And when you follow the money, the answer is usually there. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about world currencies, to give people, world reserve currencies, excuse me, to give people an understanding of how important it is to be a world reserve currency. Everyone out there is going to use your currency. And when you have everyone using your money, you have control. Because again, what can you do? You can freeze those assets. And
sure.
If you're forced to settle in a certain country's currency, they have some domination over you. And that's been throughout history. And what we've seen going forward is the United States is not afraid to exert that power at all, in the least, and to our benefit. But when we look at history, Steve, since 1840, there's been 6 world reserve currencies. So we're looking at Portugal, Spain, Belgium or Netherlands, France, Great Britain, and the United States. So the United States obviously has been the world reserve currency for about 60 years. If we look at those other countries, Steve, and their rise and then demise of their status as the world currency, what we usually see is during the first half of that phase, of that run of being the world currency, during that first 50 years, there's fiscal responsibility. There's less spending. They're really good governments, and they watch like a hawk. And then as you see more power is exerted and more control, you start seeing the tail end of this world currency domination from each of these specific countries start going off the rails. Why does it go off the rails? Excessive spending. These politicians start figuring out, well, hey, I'm getting all this money, I have all this power, I can spend more and more and more and more. And that's really the issue that all of these have had. And where are we in this map? You know, we were ripping for the first 60 years, but what are we starting to see in our country today? We're starting to see massive debt. You know, there's almost $35 trillion in debt. Steve, that's a $1 trillion interest payment. Do you think we're ever going to pay that off?
No. Can't see how.
I can't either. And then you have less and less countries really looking to settle in U.S. dollars because they want to get out from under our thumb. So we're seeing less and less treasury purchases. We're seeing less and less countries using our dollar. Our influence is definitely declining, and that's proven. Again, when you look at the oil trades, 3 years ago, they were all settled in U.S. dollars. Now, a fifth of them are not, and that trend will continue. So how does China and Russia play into all of this? You know, as we are the world reserve currency, as we're experiencing inflation right now and the loss of purchasing power of our U.S. dollar, what is China and Russia doing? And look, these are our competitors. When it comes to trade and comes to economics, Russia and China specifically, is one of our biggest competitors. So what has China been doing this whole time? They've been desperately trying to get the domination of the dollar off the board. And they started an initiative called Belt and Road. And instead of investing their excess trade surplus or settling in U.S. dollars on their oil trades, instead of buying those U.S. treasuries, they're investing in infrastructure like land and commodities. They're buying around the globe. So instead of that money coming to the United States government, it's enabled China to start really exerting their influence. And they're trying to line themselves up to become the next world currency. You know, Japan probably has something to say about that as well. But as we saw back in, I think, 2023, the sanctions that we put on Russia actually helped catapult. It didn't hurt Russia. It actually helped catapult China's baby, and I'm not going to say baby, but it's the BRICS. And this is an organization of 5 countries that want to move away from the influence of the U.S. dollar. They want to create their own currency to settle trade. And right now, obviously, the finance experts, and this is no disrespect to anyone in China or Russia, they're just not like they are in the United States. And they've had a lot of trouble creating an exchange for this trade. And one of the big things with the BRICS currency is, what is it going to be backed by? And they didn't want to run into the same thing that we ran into when Nixon dropped us off the gold standard, the limitations of having a gold-backed currency. So they're looking at something that is really, really smart, and it's gold-backed bonds. And I think that makes a lot of sense for that BRICS country. But as they gain more and more traction, less and less is coming to the United States. And we're watching it happen in real time. Is it happening quickly? No, not at all. But is it happening? Yes, it is. And we have 5 countries in the BRICS, and that is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. These are the 5 OGs. These are the guys that said, you know what? We're doing our own thing. This represents, Steve, almost 40% of the world's population. And Holy cow. Yeah, and they just signed on 4 new members: Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, and the United Emirates. So Saudi Arabia and Thailand are considering joining. There's also some other countries looking at this. So if you look at the BRICS, definitely educate yourself on this exchange system, because a lot of countries are starting to look at this and saying, hey, let's try and depower the U.S. dollar and get away from the United States control. Let's create our own. Let's start creating our own power base and our own ability to facilitate trade without interference politically. And I think that's the one thing that was appealing to these other BRICS countries. China promised, we don't know if they're going to deliver, but they promised against political interference, where we know the United States, if we don't like what's going on, we are stopping it. And you know what, to me, I like the actions that we've taken in the past, but China has promised we will not politically interfere. We'll allow you to free flow and run your country as you see fit. That is an advantage to some of these countries that maybe are not run like our country. But is this thing really going to take off? I think it depends on what the United States does from here. I really do. I think that we need leadership. And I think one of the reasons, Steve, that people are so attracted to President Trump is that he is not status quo. He is not a traditional politician. He is not looking to create a deal that may benefit everyone but the citizens of the United States. He's going to do things a little bit differently. And we are at a precipice with this BRICS traction. And which way is this going to go? Nobody knows, guys. Is it going to happen overnight? No. And this is not something to panic over, but it is something to be aware of, because what would that do? It would impact our economic landscape. Imagine if inflation goes up another 25% over the next couple years. You know, retirees specifically, and that's why I'm interested in this, Steve, because retirees, now all of a sudden their dollar going half as far on a fixed income, there's going to be some trouble here. And we might have some economic turbulence going forward, depending on how our government addresses this issue. But their immediate response to say, fake news, fake news, fake news, doesn't bode well with me with action. And having Blinken go down there and negotiate this deal with Saudi Arabia, or they're close to it right now, which basically has no benefit on the surface that we know about to the United States. It basically allows Israel and Saudi Arabia to play nice. But what do we get out of this? Did they create a side deal very similar to the petrodollar, where the Saudi Arabia is going to settle in U.S. dollars? I don't know. But as we're watching the BRICS build, and just remember, the president of the BRICS is Russia, okay? They're the holding chair of the BRICS, and there's a summit in October, and I think they have a lot of countries that are interested in joining up in this. That is going to devalue our dollar, and if you look at our dollar right now, in the next segment, Steve, I'm not sure what we have on time, but
We got maybe 30 seconds, so we need to take a break.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick break here, but I also wanted to address another thing that we see from the crypto world and also from the gold bugs is de-dollarization. You know, the loss of value of our dollar. Is this really happening? Are all these events lining up to lose value into the U.S. dollar? That would impact us, but we're going to break that all down right after this, guys, on here on Wealth Health Radio.
And you know, our goal here at the show, help to make you make the best decisions for you. So if you do have questions about things we're talking about, what Joe's talking about, you know, give us a call. 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. We do need to take another quick break, but we're back. Another segment to go on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
When we come back, we're going to finish up with some fact or fiction on de-dollarization and what's coming up right here on Wealth Health Radio right after this.
We are back on Wealth Health Radio. I'm Steve Siddall. Joe Murphy's here. Joe, of course, more than 20 years helping folks getting to and through retirement. You'll find him at Murphy Wealth Management. The website is mwmfinancial.tax, mwmfinancial.tax. And so this segment, Joe, de-dollarization. Now, that's a word I've seen bandied about, you know, probably the last few years.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It's definitely, again, you know, it's created a lot of traction in the crypto world. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of people gravitated towards digital assets, because they see the vulnerability of traditional currency. So it does hold value. But remember, everything happens slowly and then it all happens at once. But I want to preface this, guys. If you're just tuning into this right now, you're like, what is this crazy investment advisor talking about? what we're trying to do here is there's been so much, like almost a firestorm on social media about the petrodollar, about de-dollarization, what it means, and everything's going to be chaos. And then you have mainstream media coming out there and saying, wait a minute, guys, it's all fake news. Don't believe anything. As with most things, and I think you could probably agree with this, Steve, the truth lies right in the middle. So what we wanted to do on this show was not generate panic, but talk a lot of, about the things that have happened in history, what's happened, and what may happen as a result. Again, guys, none of this happens overnight. We're not going to wake up tomorrow and our dollar is valueless. We're not going to wake up and find ourselves, you know, as a third world country. Those things are not going to happen overnight. But as a financial advisor and as an investment advisor, it is my job to understand the geopolitical events that affects my clients' money. And understanding some of the actions that have taken to date can help me garner some predictions of where we think it might be in the future. And there may be some rocky heads. Steve, you heard me say this on the show many times. I don't believe, and this is my personal belief, guys, this is not advice, but I don't believe that the next 10 years are going to be like the previous 10 years. One of the main reasons why I say that, guys, is because of these events. You know, the petrodollar catapulted the United States into prosperity. And to think now that there is a rival with BRICS coming up and gaining more and more traction really puts a threat on the U.S. dollar. And if we look at our main competitor, especially when it comes to trade, it's China. And just remember, China, when they were admitted to the World Trade Organization, and I may be off on this date, I think it was 2011 or 2014, when they were admitted to the World Trade Organization, they were buying, they were using their trade surplus to buy massive amounts of U.S. treasuries. They were one of the largest holders of U.S. debt on record. They held over $1 trillion in U.S. treasuries.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot, Steve. And what we've seen now in the past in Q1 of 2024, they've sold $56 billion worth of U.S. treasuries. Again, this is not going to move quick, guys. But if you look at, what is that, 5%, you know, 6%, somewhere around there?
Yep.
If you look at that trajectory per quarter, and if that trend continues, we might have some issues, because if you have liquidity drying up from the U.S. government, we have an inflationary environment. What that does is that all of a sudden, all these countries that are holding U.S. dollars may look and be like, wait a minute, this thing's losing value. Inflation doesn't look like it's going anytime soon. What do these other countries start doing? They start dumping U.S. dollars. That would exacerbate inflation. And that's one of the reasons why I think Jamie Dimon is out there saying, hey, guys, I think rates might be going up here. And one of his big things is excessive spending by this government. Look, every time, and right or wrong, and it doesn't matter what you agree with, where we're spending money, but when we're sending money to the Ukraine, every dollar that goes over there devalues your dollar. It buys less. Every time we forgive student loans, your dollar buys less. So all this crazy, massive spending, and then you couple it with the debt, it all has an impact on us, not just today, but also in the future. So as we're seeing China hopefully not dumping all their U.S. treasuries at once, I don't think they would do that, but as we see them start escalating the sale of U.S. treasuries and U.S. debt holding and moving more towards the BRICS and trying to create their own world currency and gain traction against the U.S. dollar, look, the U.S. dollar has been king for a long time. You know, these other countries, their power base is on their own end. You know, they don't want the United States basically controlling what they can and can't do. So they're trying to split, and they have a decent idea with the BRICS. Whether they'll pull it off or not is anyone's guess, but it is happening, and it's something that we need to be aware of. So as we're seeing, and if we look at the world currencies of previous and where they started falling, the same thing started happening. Excessive spending at the tail end of the world currency status. And then you had other countries, when the inflation started going up, saying, I'm not holding this, I'm dumping it. It exacerbates the situation.
Sure it does. It's
a catalyst. And that is the de-dollarization, the loss of our value, the loss of purchasing power. We've all experienced it. Steve, you've experienced it. I've experienced it. You go to the grocery store, you see what's happening. Our dollar is not going as far. That is the loss of purchasing power. That is the deadliness of inflation. And right now, we are reliant on our Fed and this administration to pull us through. Are they going to be as savvy as Kissinger? And is Blinken going to be a stand-in and create, you know, a masterclass in negotiation with the kingdom? I don't know the answer to that. But my guess from what we've seen and what they're agreeing to, the answer is no. But again, we're not privy to the side deals of maybe settle in the petrodollar. But sure, we do need to do something to hold on to our power base. And I'm really hoping and praying, Steve, that this administration can figure it out, or we make room for the next guy that we all hope and know can. And that's really where we're at with de-dollarization, is losing the value of that dollar. We've seen it happen in Venezuela. We've seen it happen in other countries where all of a sudden the cash is in the streets. I hope that never happens in this country.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I mean, it would be complete chaos. But we do need to take action that helps the United States, that helps our citizens, that protects the value of our dollars. And I know the Fed is doing everything that they possibly can, but if other countries start dumping the U.S. dollar or moving away, it's a threat. And a threat is real. And whether there's some secret agreement with the Saudis or not, it doesn't matter. It still impacts the value of our dollar. And we're looking at oil. It does explain a little bit, Steve, if you think about it, why this administration in particular has really pumped the EVs, the electric vehicles, and moving away from combustion. Maybe they saw the writing on the wall that this was happening and say, hey, you know what? Well, maybe we just don't want to deal with oil anymore. We'll just remove ourselves completely. And then I think they got into that and realized, well, wait a minute, everything runs on oil.
Yeah, so that's nothing going to happen. That, but you talk about not happening fast. That's not happening.
Yeah, exactly. And that, and again, that's speculation, guys, just looking at this. And I'm digesting this as well with everyone else. We've done a lot of research on this. And, you know, I don't think there's right or wrong. Like most things, it's not black or white.
Right.
There's shades of gray. You know, there's varying degrees on all of this stuff. But if you look at history from the Bretton Woods Agreement all the way to the petrodollar and what's happening right now with BRICS, there's a story to tell. And I think, of course, whenever there's a story to tell, people will tell the extremes. What my goal is out here is not to have people get panicked, but educate yourself. Understand what's going on. Do a little research on the background of how important currency is and how important having economic power in this world is for our country. You know, education goes a long way. So when someone comes out with scare tactics, you know better. And unfortunately, we're not privy to all the information, but the pieces that we can put together paint a very interesting puzzle, our picture going forward. And I don't know, guys. I wish I knew what was going to happen next. Steve, I don't know if you have any guesses, but
I got nothing. I just have questions.
Yeah. And you know what? I have questions too.
So, Joe, let me ask you this. Well, you know, talk about de-dollarization, and I've heard this over the years that, okay, the U.S., you know, the dollar will no longer be the world currency. And that to me seems like, could that really happen?
Of course it could. And that's why I wanted to talk about the history of the world currencies. And look, they all rose, they all fell. And the reason why they fell was excessive spending, inflation, you know, really bad situation compounded by the other countries that were holding that world reserve currency, dumping it. So are we there yet? No, I don't think so. Look, the United States is still king of the world. You know, we're still economically, I mean, we're still the king of the world. But are these other countries gaining traction? Sure they are. Is it something to keep an eye on? Absolutely. Have we lost 24% of our purchasing power in the last couple of years? We have. That's why this has my attention. But that's why I wanted to do this show and get the word out for people to start doing your research. You know, I don't have all the answers to all this stuff. There's a lot of opaqueness out there on this information, but we can piece together history and get an idea from what's happened in the past, what may happen in the future. History never repeats exactly, but man, you can get a good inkling on what may be coming by understanding how those pieces fit in the past.
Wow, what a great show, Joe. This has been, I mean, eye-opening, and certainly for me, I'm going to do a lot more research now just because of that. I want to know more.
Yeah, and that's exactly what my point was. And we're not going to do any, you know, we'll take calls if you guys need anything, but we're not going to do the reviews this week. Actually, Amber and I are headed down to Florida for a little vacation, but I wanted to bring this out because there's a lot of nasty stuff going around on both sides. So I wanted to bring this out to encourage people to do their own education.
And that's, if you're the key, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Come up with your own conclusion.
Then you're bulletproof. Then all the, yeah, you need to do this now or everything's going to fall apart. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't cause you to make a rational rash decision. That is my goal as a fiduciary, is to educate my clients. And that's why I had to bring this out today. Is it all right? We don't know. You know, we don't know for sure, but are those events happened in the past? They have. What's going to happen in the future? Anyone's guess, guys, but be prepared. We want a sound financial retirement for all of our clients. Being educated helps, and going with the right firm that understands, especially that it's not just stocks, it's not just fundamental research. There's a lot more that goes into it, and you need to be aware. So whether you're doing it on your own or if you want an investment advisor to help you navigate this tricky situation, this is what we're here for. Steve, give our listeners that magic number. Everyone have a great week, and we're going to talk again next week.
800-930-5905. That is the number, 800-930-5905. Really, we're just helping you make the best decisions for you. And again, Joe giving us a nice background on really important things. And I hope you enjoyed it. 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. Joe, as always, a pleasure. What a great show. Again, very enlightening.
Well, I hope so, Steve. And again, everyone have a great week. Stay cool. It's summertime, and we'll talk again next week.
It's always great talking with Joe. You can hear his radio show Sundays at noon on AM 560, The Answer, WIND in Chicago. If you want to learn more, I've put some links to sources of information on the petrodollar in the show notes of this podcast. Financial Safari is written and produced by me, Steve Siddall, and it comes to you from the palatial studios of broadcasting experts in Apex, North Carolina. No show next week. So have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend. Financial Pizza will be back on July 12th with more hot, fresh clips from great financial advisors all around the country. I'm Steve Siddall.
Coach P Radio.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Peter J. Deruta or his guests are liable for the usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action. Annuity guarantees are based solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing company. Individuals should thoroughly review the contract for specific details of the product features and costs. Income payments and withdrawals from deferred annuities are generally taxable as ordinary income in the year they are taken.
Money management is provided by Equus Capital Management. Equus is an SEC-registered investment advisor located in San Rafael, California. Investment advice by Capital Financial Advisory Group, LLC, a North Carolina-registered investment advisor. Insurance advice given by Capital Financial and Insurance, a North Carolina-licensed insurance agency.